Good evening. Hello, hello, and welcome. We're glad you are here with us, St. Raphael School, and we're going to be discussing the liberal arts tradition and the integrated liberal arts here at St. Raphael School. Just enjoy the music and the quote from one of my favorite books, The Wind and the Willows. And we'll get started here shortly.
Willows, the tales you have told me. Wind and the willows, you just seem to know who you can turn to and which way to go to unwind your wondrous mind.
All right. Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome. The mole was bewitched, entranced, and fascinated. By the side of the river, he trotted as one trots when very small, by the side of a man who holds one spellbound by exciting stories. And when he tired at last, he sat on the bank while the river still chattered on to him, a babbling procession of the best stories in the world, sent from the heart of the earth to be told at last to the insatiable sea. What do you all think about, and you can use the chat box here, what do you all think about when you hear those words, when you look at this picture, when you hear the sound of the song? What are the words that come to mind? And panelists, you can chime in too. You can chime in too, panelists. What do you think about? What do you hear? I see the word relaxing, restful, peaceful, inviting, peaceful, soothing, resonating. Ooh, that's a good word. Vacation from busy the world. Adventure. Yeah, Dr. Titus, I was thinking about that too. Even though it's like the soothing, but it's a type of adventure that's happening. Yeah. Any other ones? Any other ones? And I just love this depiction too. One of the things that draws my eye is the bottle that's just tipped over because it's empty. This bottle is empty, right? They've really enjoyed themselves. Colorful, daydreaming, harmony. Beautiful words, right? Colorful, all those colors coming together. And I see, you know, of course, mole smiling, right? And just enjoying life. All those stories, expectant, beautiful. And so when we look at all of these words and this wonder that life gives us in nature and in literature and what God provides for us to inspire us, we think about and we reflect. And that's one of the things and the beauty of the liberal arts is we go from wonder to wisdom. We go from this awe, this poetic mode of understanding to the scientific mode. And so tonight, that's what we're going to be discussing. We're going to be discussing what are the liberal arts? What does that mean? What are they? And how does St. Raphael School actually do that? Because we do have our liberal arts program that is a little different than most because of our founder, Dr. James Taylor, also later known in life as Father Porfirios of blessed memory. And we're going to talk about that. You're going to get to know of course, our lovely instructors, as you can see here, as some of them who have joined us tonight, and you'll be able to have wonderful questions and answers and be able to ask anything that you may inquire about our courses in the liberal arts tradition. So, before we begin, we have Father Gabriel with us, who is also one of our instructors, and he's going to have an opening prayer. Father, please.
Thank you, Presbytera. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, you are our wonder and you are our wisdom. Through your Son, Jesus, the eternal Word, you help us. You give us the grace to move in the directions of life that you call us to be. In those times and in those places, we are grateful for you. We thank you for the gift of giving us the obligation and the ministry to educate our young people. Our young people in faith and in the world so that they can know the virtues that you lie, that you want to instill in them. Virtues of love, faith, hope, charity, all those good things, dear Lord. We pray as we say, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tomb, bestowing life. I think you're muted, Presbytera, but thank you.
Sorry. Christos Anesti, Christos Anesti, et me cron thanatos, thanatos, pathisas, mi,
Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tomb, bestowing life. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and into the ages of ages. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you very much. I
Presbytera.
was so enthralled in the prayer, I forgot to unmute. And of course, in
Presbytera,
our
when I'm teaching, sometimes I forget to unmute if I'm listening to something because it helps to hear better. And then I say, and maybe the kids are happy that I'm still muted.
No,
I
I'm sure they say, Father.
They do. They say, "You're muted. You're muted."
That's right. So, of course, prayer is a cornerstone of our classes. That happens before anything else. And we always have this time with our students, in every class, in which we embed a little bit of a catechetical component at the very top of the hour. So that first 7 minutes of our classroom liturgy, as we call it, we do have this little component, but everything is taught within the Orthodox ethos. So as I said, today we're going to talk about our program as the core, what the integrated liberal arts are. We're going to meet our instructors, or some of them rather, and then we're going to have a Q&A. So for St. Raphael School, at the heart of it is our faith. We're here to build up the body of Christ. We're here to help guide children and build them and show them how to become virtuous, how to become Christ-like. And we do that through the teachings of the church in the liberal arts. So we are a school within a school at Scholae Academy. And many times I am asked, well, when I take my children to the Great Hall of Scholae Academy for math and science and other courses that we don't teach at St. Raphael School because we're a humanities school, a liberal arts school, are there Orthodox instructors there teaching? The answer is yes, there are. So if you're looking for a specific Orthodox instructor to teach math or science or another subject, or in the tutoring center, because I'm the manager of the tutoring center and Center for Students with Learning Differences, we have Orthodox instructors that you can request for the specific tradition. We're an ecumenical school, so yeah, you can request for an Orthodox instructor and then enroll in their classes or have a private instructor or a supplemental tutor for your child. So, St. Raphael School distinctives. We are classical. We are restful. We are engaging. We are personal. And ultimately, we are Orthodox. All of our instructors, the ones you see here tonight, the ones that you see on all of the classes at St. Raphael School, are Orthodox members in good standing in their churches. And all of the jurisdictions they're a part of are in communion with the Patriarchate. So all of us follow in that, I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. All of us follow under that omophorion. Okay. So we are all part of that same communion as one another. So our school is pan-Orthodox. We have Greek Orthodox, we have Antiochian, we have OCA, we have Russian, we have Romanian, and I can keep on going on and on and on. So we are a diverse pan-Orthodox community, and that is one of our beautiful strengths. One of the other things that we focus on is the point of rigor versus rigor, okay? We believe in the deep dive, meaning our courses have rigor, but they're not forensic, right? It's not busy work, but rather we focus on the deep dive. We focus on how to think, not what to think. We focus on understanding, on reflection, exactly how that opening picture made you feel, right? Yes, it was relaxing. It was soothing, but think about it was soothing to the point that you can really reflect and contemplate certain ideas, thoughts, questions of the unknown. And that's what we focus on, a deep dive with a systematic understanding of content and scope and sequence within the subject matter. We also believe that things are relational and personal. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. So we are here to help one another, instructors included. And in that equation, we include parents. We all work together to collaborate the growth of our students and all of us coming closer to Christ, all of us coming closer to his kingdom together. Our instructors are selected very carefully to make sure those that do come into contact with our students are those, again, in the utmost caliber of not only the church, but of educational status, teaching and pedagogy in classical education. And we are here, as I said before, to teach, yes, but also to build up little Christ, as we know the church says. How do we become like little Christ in the world? So our core liberal arts teachers, well, here they are. Aren't they beautiful? Here they are. These are our core liberal arts teachers from the lower school down here on the left, all the way up to upper school. And as you can see, there are several because our liberal arts program has grown leaps and bounds in the last few years because of the special understanding that Dr. James Taylor has created about the liberal arts, in particular, what he called the integrated liberal arts. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in a moment. But I want you to get to meet our instructors, the ones that were able to make it tonight. They're going to introduce themselves to you. And many of them teach several different classes, whether at Scholae Academy or St. Raphael School. But tonight, for the sake of time, I'm going to have them just tell you what they're teaching in the liberal arts with St. Raphael School. And then for this coming year, and then they're going to share one of their favorite books. Now, I've already shared one of my favorite books from level four, which is The Wind in the Willows, because I used to teach level four and level five for, I think it was 7 years, Sarah Wolf. I think it was 7 years before you came in. So that was one of my favorite books. So that's what they're going to do. And then we'll go from there. So if you do have questions along the way, please feel free to use the Q&A or the text chat box. All right, so let's start with you, Sarah, because you're to the left of me.
My name is Sarah Wolf, and I teach level four children's classics. And all of the books are my favorite, but I will say A Christmas Carol. I always look forward to that one. And Keeper of the Light, a story about Saint Macrina. Those are probably two that I'm most looking forward to teaching.
Yes, great, great. One of the things we also try to do in our liberal arts courses is not only the good and great books that we use to teach, but we also infuse those with orthodox books alongside and intertwine and interweave those in as well. Thank you, Sarah. Marissa.
Sorry, you'll have to excuse my voice a little. I'm getting over a cold, but I'm teaching British class, British level five next year, and I'm looking forward to teaching Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. I've never read this particular translation, so I'm looking forward to it. Tolkien is one of my favorites, so I'm very excited to read that.
Excellent. And it is an excellent epic. And I do like that translation. Good. Father Gabriel, your blessing.
God bless Presbyterian. Sometimes I use this mouse, which they don't know there's, and then the other one, and I don't know where I get where it gets to, but it's here. But I'm teaching level five British classics, and one of the books I like is Don Quixote, because he has this quest according to a higher ideal, if you will, and that's what even though it's when it's mocked or misunderstood. It mirrors the Orthodox
Yes.
call to asceticism
Yes.
and the tradition of being a fool
Yes.
for Christ, as many of our saints were. So, thank you.
Yes. So right, Father Gabriel. So right. And those are the kind of conversations, by the way, that we have in our liberal arts classes. It's not just one level, right? It's infused with the Orthodox ethos. It's like, why isn't Don Quixote understood? Well, because he's a fool. He's a fool, right? And poor Sancho, he's like, Master, why can't we eat? Ducky is like, we're fasting. That's what knights do. And you're so right. You're so right. Thank you, Father. Militza.
Thank you, Presbytera. I'm Milica Savic, and I'll be teaching level 4 children's classics and level 5 British classics. And I guess one from each. From level 4, definitely The Little Prince. That's one of my
Oh,
favorite books.
yes.
And interestingly enough, the first time I ever read it was in a French class in French, which is the original language. So it stuck. For level 5 British classics, I'm looking forward to Hamlet by Shakespeare. I'm doing like the kids ver I did the kids version with a younger group that I teach, and it'll just be interesting, I think, to discuss it more in depth with an older group.
Oh, yes, to be or not
Or
to
not to
be.
be, yeah.
And I always challenge them, like, okay, so what is he really saying? Because the phrase right after that is a psalm. So what really is he saying? Right? What really is he saying? The Little Prince, of course. Gosh, who doesn't love the Little Prince? Who doesn't love? And another example of contemplation, right? Draw a box. What's in the box? Well, the adult says, I don't know. I don't know what's in the box. And he goes, well, it's, and he's like, well, sometimes you lose that. And it's sad, right? So again, we come full circle. Yeah,
My
Elisa.
daughter's in that phase now where she's just drawing, like, and she's telling me what she's drawing, but it
Yeah.
doesn't really look like that to me.
Yeah.
I mean, so I always think of the Little Prince.
Yeah. It's like, but it is. That's what it is. Dr. Alexander Titus, the man with two first names.
Thank you, Presbytera. I'm Dr. Titus. I teach all of the upper school liberal arts classes. So this is level 6, both Greek year and Roman year. We just finished Greek year, so we'll be doing Roman year next year, level 7 and level 8. And I think probably I think my favorite thing that I read, we actually just finished it, is actually Nicholas Cavasilis's The Life in Christ.
Oh, yes.
Which is written kind of like latter half of the 14th century. Sort of a perennial favorite, one of mine, one sort of highly ranked among the students. We read this last. But the one, probably the one that I'm looking forward to the most, is actually what we're going to be reading in the level 7 history class. So that was for level 7 literature, is actually John Moskos's The Spiritual Meadow, which is kind of this fascinating, like, sort of monastic travelogue, where they sort of go around and they have these kind of interesting adventures and conversations with a bunch of just kind of these sort of almost wild characters and sort of holy men and kind of things like that. It's really fascinating. I have not actually read the whole thing, and so I'm really looking forward to, I think this one's the probably the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Beautiful, beautiful. Make sure you sent me an invite for one of those discussions. You
No
know how
problem.
much I love to chime in. And those discussions get deep. And one of the things that it's hard to imagine, but by the time our students go from liberal arts level 1 all the way up to Dr. Titus's courses, and Dr. Titus, I'll let you chime in because I'm like a gloating mother, so they may not believe me. They're speaking at a freshman, sophomore college level about these texts, Dr.
Yeah,
Titus.
I mean, we're reading, like, so I used to teach, I TA'd in a seminary, and so we're reading texts in these classes that I read with adult students, like seminarians, and these kids are, I mean, they're Orthodox, so they're kind of getting them in a deeper way, but it's really, it's something else. It's absolutely delightful, absolutely wonderful to see kind of the level of engagement and things that you grow up reading something, you've been studying something, and they'll notice something about the text that you never thought about before. And it's just, yeah, it's absolutely wonderful.
Great. And it is fascinating. And I do love co going and listening. I really do. It really is a beautiful thing to hear our children speak so eloquently. And last but not least, Miss Stephanie Jones. We are telling what grades or what levels, rather, we're teaching and one of your favorite books in that level.
So I am teaching level 3 next year. I did level 2 and level 3 this year. One of my favorites from level 3 is Through My Eyes. It's an autobiography of Ruby Bridges, which was one of the first African Americans to be integrated into the schools in New Orleans. And it was just a really fun book to read with them. It's a really hard topic, some really hard topics. And so it was good to explore those with the kids and then let them write their own autobiography. Even as a 10, 11-year-old, it was really cool to see what the things that they thought were important in their lives and have them, write those out chronologically somewhat and be able to share that with a class. So it was a really fun book. It was hard, but it was good things to wrestle with, and there were some good conversations that came out of it.
Yeah, I love that you use that word wrestle, right? One of the things that we definitely allow our students to do in the classrooms, of course, with us as the instructors that are guiding them, is to wrestle with tough ideas, societal problems that may arise in these texts, in a safe environment. And how do we look upon these as Orthodox Christians in the world? And so these can be discussed and talked about and grappled with, as Stephanie said, from a level 3 all the way up, of course, to seniors in high school, and to discuss, well, how do we deal with this, and what do we do, and how does society deal with them versus what the church, what we as the body of Christ deal with it. And so all of that is important. And specifically for level 3, they focus on genres. And one of the genres, of course, is autobiographies. And so they really drill down into those autobiographies. I would be remiss if I didn't mention, of course, we have right here in the left, we have Miss Esther Diana, who teaches our level 1 and level 2. And then, of course, we also have another instructor right here, Dr. Aaron Moulton, who has been a longtime instructor with us and took a short leave, and she is returning this coming year to teach level 4. And she will be joining us again this coming year. So that is our core liberal arts instructors. And as you see, the one is just as dazzling as the other. Now, how does this all fit together? Well, this is our scope and sequence of the liberal arts in the curriculum map, and it also includes our catechism on the side here, as you can see. Our liberal arts program is a total of 8 levels, and levels 1 through 6 have 2-year rotations. What does that mean? That means that from level 1 to 6, students can take 2 years of each level unrepeated materials, books, assignments, lessons, scope and sequence, one that builds up to another. There is a multi-age classroom approach that we follow because students grow and learn at different paces. So they're not necessarily per grade level, although we have suggested grade levels or ages. These are very flexible groupings, and you can see what the history focus and the composition focus and the science focus is. But what is the integrated liberal arts? Why is this figured in this way? Well, the integrated liberal arts and the way it's set up, as you see it accordingly here, is all the disciplines put together in one fine meal. And that's how Father Porfirios, Dr. James Taylor, who founded St. Raphael School, would call it. So we are talking about in these liberal arts program, for each course, everything included in that course is reading, writing, rhetoric, history, sociology, natural science, poetry, and orthodox studies. All of these are integrated, spiraled together into one course. So levels 1 through 8 have that spiraling into one course. So students, for example, from levels 1 to 5 will meet several times a day, and an exception to level 1, because those are the young ones. They'll only meet 2 times a day, 2 times a week, rather. Sorry. They'll meet several times a week, but it's always this integrated approach. Nothing is parsed out separately. And so this integrated approach of the liberal arts is what really deepens their understanding and builds their knowledge and the longevity of the knowledge instead of it being departmentalized into separate buckets. And so I'm going to have Dr. Titus, who I see shaking his head and has that wonderful radio voice,
I was
read.
nodding.
Yeah, oh, nodding your
I was
head.
not
Sorry.
shaking my
Nodding his head. Sorry. Nodding your
Maybe
head.
I was nodding diagonally and it
No,
looked
I
like I was
mean
shaking.
nodding. No. You're right. I just misspoke. You were nodding. You weren't sh shaking. You were nodding. Your head in agreement, nodding your head in agreement. Read the paragraph down below for
Right.
us.
Integrated liberal arts courses at SRS offer students a comprehensive means of exploring and experiencing important ideas in a single class setting. Through the lens of orthodoxy, the humanities and social sciences, students study the transformative texts of the good and great books. Using stories, lessons in the natural world, poetry, music, art, and the rhythms of the Eastern Orthodox Christian faith, students are guided to a deep understanding of dynamic human relationships and the global, social, and cultural dimensions that impact all disciplines. Integrated liberal arts develop students' reading, writing, and speaking skills pertinent to their growth level. In the end, students are positioned to communicate enduring truths and to respond to the changing demands of the world as innovative leaders who follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
And it is so important that we understand that is the end goal. In the end, students are positioned to communicate enduring truths and to respond to the changing demands of the world as innovative leaders who follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And in order for that to happen, we have to create the space that they can grow into that. And we as instructors offer that space and that guidance. So teaching the liberal arts, the integrated liberal arts, is as much as an art as it is a science. And so our students definitely benefit from that understanding that we have our training, our knowledge of classical education, and of course, our love of the Lord and our faith rooted, right, in our own journeys. Recently, as of yesterday, I went to Hellenic College Holy Cross, Greek Orthodox School of Theology. Both my husband, Father Dionysios, and I went. And we both celebrated 10-year alumni, father's 10-year of his MDiv, and I didn't go to mine, but we both graduated at the same time. His was MDiv and mine for my THM, for my thesis. And of course, it brought back so many memories, right? Being taught, infused in this area that you know you're in an orthodox place, you can grapple, you can learn, you can teach, you can understand. But There. I looked up a former student, Faley. And Faley was a former SRS student. I've been with SRS for 10 years. And Faley was a former SRS student, and she went there for a semester of faith. And she never came back. She stayed there. And so if you go to Helena College Holy Cross, they're having commencement this weekend on social media. She is the valedictorian this year. So here is an SRS graduate. She did some time off, went to Project Mexico, et cetera, then did the semester of faith, didn't leave, got married, had a baby, and still graduated from Helena College, and she is a valedictorian this year, all because of the integrated liberal arts, the training that she received, and found her steps here. So the integrated liberal arts does more than just check a box. It gives tools and grounding and roots to our children. And ultimately what it does is it takes students from wonder to wisdom. That's what it does. It takes them from wonder to wisdom. So we talk about the humanities, we talk about it being integrated, and we talk about classics, right? We talked about it being literature and history and poetry, arts, culture, all of these things we talked about, right? Capturing that sense of wonder and ennoble the spirit through beauty, style, poetic sense, faith, faculty of friends. We're here together to help our students. And all of that is rooted in the classical liberal arts tradition paradigm. This is rooted back to how it was to teach in the early church by the fathers. It was, let's grapple with this question. Let's find out. And there was levels, right? So we start with wonder and then worship and then work. And then wisdom. And it is always moving forward like a flywheel. And as you go, and the spiraling effect, more and more is gained by each student. And you can see both deep and wide, right? Both deep and wide. Where you can see here, is why that's so important and the importance of it. Is that we help the students really take charge and become lifelong learners. And I know that's a coined phrase. I know that's a phrase like, oh, yes, lifelong learners. Yeah, but I'm really meaning it here. So when our kids walk away from all of us, instructors, parents, they know how to find the answer if they don't know it. We model in class. Many times you might hear the instructor say, I wonder where I can get that answer. Well, of course, the instructor knows where to get the answer. But they're modeling and they're helping the students really develop tools and skill sets in order to thrive. So there's this rhetoric, which is the bearing fruit in wisdom. We have the dialectic, gaining understanding, and we have the grammar, soaking in the knowledge. And we're taking students from the roots all the way up, right? From the piety all the way up to the philosophy and theology where Dr. Titus lives. All the way up there. That's where we're taking them. And it's a beautiful journey which the liberal arts offers us. So what I wanted to do is take 4 minutes for you to listen to Dr. Christopher Perrin, who is the CEO, founder of Classical Academic Press, but he's an author, he's a consultant, he's a speaker who specializes in classical education and has done so for many years. And is an Orthodox Christian himself. And what I find interesting, and this is true for Dr. James Taylor, the founder of our school, is many who have studied classical education have drilled back so far that they have found orthodoxy. And that's what brought Dr. James Taylor to orthodoxy and why he came to the faith. And then later in his life, of course, he did become a monk, and then he is now known as Father Porphyrios of blessed memory. So I want to share this video. It's a very short one, but I think it really encapsulates everything we just talked about.
This is Christopher Perrin with a word about the liberal arts. You've probably heard of the liberal arts. In a previous video, I talked about why the liberal arts are called liberal, and we named them. There are seven traditional liberal arts: grammar, logic, and rhetoric, the trivium arts that master language, and the quadrivium arts of astronomy, arithmetic, geometry, astronomy, and music, the arts that master number. Well, often folks who say they study the liberal arts can't name those seven liberal arts, but there they are. They're the arts that enable us to become and to remain free, free human beings, free from tyranny, free to be able to learn anything for ourselves because we can read and write and reckon and reason. The arts are called the liberal arts, the liberating arts, we might call them. But why are they called arts? How would you answer that question? Why aren't they just called the liberal subjects or the liberal disciplines? Why do we call them arts? Well, you know the word art, don't you? When you think of the word art, what normally comes to mind? Something made? Something made by human hands? Art or an artifact? Something artificial would be something made by human hands as well. An artifact certainly is something that's been made by human hands. Well, it comes from the Latin word. These two English words come from the Latin word ars, artis, and it means essentially art, something made. Well, why would the liberal arts be called the liberal arts, especially if we're thinking of grammar, logic, and rhetoric, which have to do with learning language? How are those arts? Well, if the word art means something made, what is being made by the liberal arts? Well, in the classical tradition, the first thing that was really being made was a human being. Human beings acquire the fullness of their own capacities, become the fullest versions of themselves by studying these liberal or liberating arts. That's how they were thought to be. And as you were acquiring the capacity to reason, to use language well, to reckon and use mathematics well, you were acquiring the ability to do what only human beings could do and to do it the very best possible way you could. So humans were actually cultivated and made by these liberal arts. But once a human was capacitated to become the fullest version of himself or herself, that person also was equipped to become a maker or an artist, a liberal artist, you might say. Well, what do we make out of, say, words? If the if grammar, logic, and rhetoric are the verbal arts, what do we make out of words? Well, we make, what do you think we make? We make poems out of words. We make stories and novels out of words. We make even political speeches out of words. We make lessons out of words. Anything that involves human language involves weaving together words. So to become a liberal artist is to use words. Well, what do we make with mathematics? Well, we make equations. We make lab reports. We analyze and study the world numerically and quantitatively, looking at its extension and magnitude and motion. And that requires numbers. So anything we make that involves numbers makes us an artist, a quadrivium mathematical artist. So that's why the liberal arts are called the liberal arts. These are the liberating arts that make us artists. I hope this has been helpful. Thank you for viewing this video. I'll be back sometime soon with another one. Thanks for viewing.
So, in essence, we are creating little Christs, right? To recreate, to become artists in the world. And so, when we think of the integrated liberal arts, it is a multidiscipline approach. As you see, what is true, what is good, what is beautiful, all of this is integrated into this beautiful tree, right? And it's deep and has many levels and it's interwoven and it cannot be just torn apart. And the only way it can grow is in this very intricate way as it wraps together with all of these pieces. This is Father Porfirio's of Blessed Memory, and the book which he wrote that has been cited by many classical educators since he wrote it is Poetic Knowledge, The Recovery of Education. And so if you've never read it, I highly suggest you read it. It's a great insight. So this is what our liberal arts tradition is, what we just discussed. Integrated humanities, classics, core, K-12, relational, orthodox, and scholae. And all of this is done at the highest level with our instructors and overseen by me as principal of St. Raphael School. So that's our integrated liberal arts program at St. Raphael School. This is the cornerstone of our school. We have four main legs to our school, which is our liberal arts, our catechism program, our languages, which are Greek, Russian, and Arabic, and then also our sacred arts, which include Byzantine chant, iconography. I'm missing one. Byzantine chant, iconography. There's,
Languages.
I
No.
think, yeah, I said languages, but there's
Oh,
something else in our sacred arts I'm missing, but that's okay. And so those are the four legs of the chair. And so the liberal arts is one of those. And then, of course, we have many electives that are rooted in orthodoxy and created especially for our families. One of which, for example, is for our middle schoolers, Seven Habits of an Orthodox Teen or of a teenager in the Orthodox mindset. So there are many pieces that we have here in the liberal arts, but we also have electives as well that can supplement that. So questions from you all. Do you have any questions? I see Anna Maria put a comment there about she wrote, "I enjoyed watching Ruby Bridges with my daughter, the movie. It's also beautiful being able to discuss how Archbishop Yakovos March in Selma." Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a rich tradition in the Orthodox Church about personhood. Any questions? For any of our teachers, any of our levels, you can even get that specific. I want to see someone stump Dr. Titus. Let's see here. We'll also take any questions about any of the courses that we are currently going to be offering for the coming year as well. If you, oh, I just got one. All right, here's the question. Is there a breakdown of scope and sequence specifically for writing and grammar? Great question. I'm wondering how it compares to the individual writing and grammar classes at Scholae Academy. Great question. That's a question we get often. So, the scope and sequence for Welder language and writing and rhetoric. It is a very regimented and very scripted program. Here at Scola, or sorry, here at St. Raphael School, it is not one that is scripted to that point. Within our program, as you can see here, when we look at composition focus, you'll see that there's a progression of the focus, but not specifically. So oh, this class you're going to learn this, or that class you're going to learn that, and here's the systematic approach. That's because we're not just focusing on one discipline. However, within each one, there is, like you said, a certain focus. Now, since it's not comprehensive as the Woder language and writing and rhetoric, which as you know, they meet 2 or 3 times a week to cover the material just on that, it wouldn't be that type of scope and sequence. It would be something integrated. So, for example, if we were looking at level one of the liberal arts, they use phonics and they focus on phonics work and they focus on grammar. But it's not a systematic approach. It's a holistic approach. And then when we talk about, let's say, middle school, and we talk about essay writing, right, which would be writing and rhetoric. I think that's 4 or 5. I think it's 5. It's been a while since I looked at the books. And we look at essay writing. Yes, we go through all of the topics. We go through thesis statement. We go through how to create a paragraph, how to do textual evidence, how we build upon it. I see Melissa's nodding. I got the right word this time, Dr. Titus, nodding her head. We do all of that, but again, it's not in a very scripted, like, it's within the context of the good and great books and within the context of what we are learning and how it's going to be applied at the time. So to answer your question, as far as is there a scope and sequence in which it says this is what they're going to learn at this level that you can see, we could tell you, okay, this is what they're going to learn. It's in the descriptions of each level. So if you go to our website and you look at the descriptions of each level, it'll tell you exactly what they're going to be doing. In addition to that, another question comes up. Well, when do you discuss proper grammar? When do you discuss grammar rules? When do you discuss? And the way we do that is within the context of our writers' workshop. So our students write a great deal, a great deal, all the way from level one to from basic sentences all the way up. And each one of these, I'll let them chime in. But then we share them. Of course, the instructors read them and they, you know, help them along and edit, and they can resubmit as many times as they want. And they learn that way. But also we do what we call writer's workshop, which is they share amongst the class and we teach the students, how do you critique or how do you give positive correction to another student? And that's built into the program. And that's when we use that opportunity to show, okay, is this proper noun verb agreement, let's say. Is this a clear thesis statement? Can we tweak this a little bit more? And we have these discussions in real time with the kids on student kids' paper in rotation. So it's not always the same student's paper that's being shared. And those lessons come through. So again, it's not a systematic and very scripted approach. It's a holistic approach to the same content. I don't know if I answered your question, Eileen. Okay, so the question was, is integrated liberal arts intended to be a substitute for individual history courses or intended to be taken? Great question. In parallel with other history courses. Excellent question. It is a substitute. It really is. An integrated liberal arts course is a history, is a reading, writing, rhetoric course. It truly does have a one credit course. Like if you're talking history, if you're talking high school credit language, it would be one credit history, one credit language, English. Dr. Tyus, you want to talk about that a little bit?
With specifically kind of how we do history.
Well, for the upper school, they wouldn't have to take another history class.
So we do, because so we do basically everything from, ancient, ancient Greek all the way up through the mid 20th century. In my classes. And I mean, the difference is we're reading primary text. So we're kind of like, the way that I kind of try to sort of look at it or explain it is we're kind of getting these sort of snapshots, or we're sort of looking through these texts kind of out onto kind of a larger narrative. And that's basically how we kind of engage. We're engaging with sort of history sort of through these primary texts. That's kind of how I see it, how I do things.
And then the integrated liberal arts and I'm just talking about now the middle grades, if we want to talk about, where we diverge and start taking separate classes. Again, you do not have to take another course because level five, there are history spine texts that we use and we read alongside the curriculum, alongside the actual classical books. And again, all primary sources, like what Dr. Titus said. And level four, we always give supplemental materials, like for Number the Stars, for example. We do a whole study unit on World War II. So nothing is ever taught in isolation. My favorite line, Stephanie, your son would know this because he's been in my class so many times. My favorite line to tell the students is, "Nothing's written." I just lost it. In a vacuum, found it. Nothing's written in a vacuum. So we always study the history, and there's always history assignments and history content. So yes, you wouldn't have to take a history class because it is there. Yeah, good question. Very good question. I also saw that there was some discussion about Chicago Manual style and MLA and APA and all of that. Yes, here at SRS, we do use Chicago Manual style, just because of the texts. Primary text that we use, but also my preference is that too. And that's what I being the main instructor in level four and five for so many years, that's what I trained our students to use. And then they moved on to level six, seven, and eight, and that's what they knew. But Chicago Manual style is one of those manual styles that once you learn it, is probably the most simplistic one to apply in every situation, and the most cleanest to apply. So yeah, we do use the Chicago Manual of style. Miss Marissa Davidson.
Yeah, I wanted to point out that the Chicago style is typically used with history as well, which just proves that the liberal arts is really very involved in history as well. You really cannot separate them because a lot of the books, at least in my level five, American history, thankfully, is a little shorter than British history. So we only have 200 years to cut, kind of cover. But a lot of the things that we were using are very much, relevant to history and pulled directly from history. Things like that are just very useful for studying and using in liberal arts classes.
Yeah, and we do tell students that, listen, We're teaching you one style of citation, but you also have to be open to when you go on to other instructors or college, etc., to be open that maybe that instructor may say you need to use another style. But here at SRS, that is the style we kind of have landed on. Great questions. Any other questions? We are here. Oh, I love those questions. That was fun.
I was you Presbytera, you were wondering about a third sacred art
Yes.
subject. Would Byzantine manuscript illumination count?
Yes.
I was
Thank
just
you.
looking at that. I was like, oh yeah.
Thank you.
So what was it? Chant, iconography, and
And
manuscript
yeah, I
illumination.
knew there was another one. I just couldn't remember the name of it. Thank you. Oh, I see a couple other ones. All right. To do. Hold on. I think those are repeats. Let's see here. Yeah, that's done. That's done. All right. I think that's done. Okay. All right. Any other questions? Thank you, for the questions. Any other questions? Anything you would like to add, ask? Anything on the side? Instructors, anything you would like to add or say? Yes, Lisa.
I had a couple of students who took the liberal arts courses parallel to the writing and rhetoric courses.
Oh,
And I
great.
noticed that that paired really well. I could notice like a significant difference in the students' writing throughout the year. Like it would get better, and it clearly got better from beginning to end.
Sure.
And I think it just paired really well for them in that case. Yeah.
So more concentrated, systematic.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Yes, Father Gabriel.
I also know Presbytera, as I took on level six, the writing of the
Yes.
students is magnificent. And their discussions today,
Yes.
I can't even describe it. I mean, it's, and I'm like, how am I going to read these papers and grade them? Because there's nothing wrong with them. Like they're so, I'm supposed to take a point off, whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So.
Yeah, so Father Gabriel has been substituting for Mrs. Popovich, who's on maternity leave. And so he was has been substituting for her, so he has been looking out for her class. And so that's good to hear. And she's level six as well. Speaking to both of those, as you can see, the writing at once they get to level six, and as what you said, Militsa, which is, if they do need a concentrated effort, and that's not a systematic approach that the homeschool is doing, then yeah, you have those classes, but it doesn't necessarily, the integrated liberal arts does have that embedded. But if they do need a very intensified version, that's there as well.
It just pairs really well.
Yeah.
That was just my
Yeah.
comment. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We start a podcast.
Yeah, so Anna Maria said Alexander Titus and Father Gabriel could start a literature liberal arts topic discussion podcast. They have perfect radio voices. I'm sure all the students would enjoy these wonderful instructors.
Dr. Titus, we should do that. We should look
Hear, hear.
It's funny because I try not to talk too much, and that's one of the things I'm trying to like do less
Yes.
is like talk too much. And it's like I want them to talk,
That's what I do too. I say, am I talking too much? I tell them like my, but
Yeah, and so let's end with that. Ultimately, we use Socratic seminar and we try the instructors, we try to talk as little as possible, in a sense that in discussion time, not teaching time, but in discussion time, we try to kind of guide them and lead them and have them grapple and discuss amongst themselves. And so that too takes great talent and technique that our instructors offer to our students. And sometimes those discussions, I myself think a discussion is going to go one way and it ends up going a whole other way I did not expect. But it's a blessing, right? It's a blessing, everybody. It's a blessing. It's just a blessing. So thank you all for joining us. Thank you for being here with us. We are here to help. We are your school. We are here to collaborate with you and your homeschool program. And if you ever have questions, comments, problems, issues, you can always reach out to me, of course, as principal of St. Raphael School. I'm Presbytera Maria Cuyanos. Or you can reach out to any of the instructors at any time via their emails from our website and ask them questions. I will stick around if you have questions, but Father Gabriel, do you mind giving us a closing prayer?
Thank you, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh God, we come to the end of this day. We come to the end of this meeting. God bless our families, our friends, our students, our future students, and all that are gathered here, and all that will see this video, and all that are come to our school. We ask your blessing, dear God, on all of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you everyone for coming. Good night, and we are here to help. Keep posted and come and join us. Bye-bye, everybody.
And thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you all.